Lord. As everyone's heading back to their seats, we're just so glad to see everybody here. Already at the end of July, the summer is going so fast. Wow, praise the Lord. Everyone's returning to their seat. Folks are still coming in. Praise God. Hey, I'm going to be doing something a little different, just having the announcements on the floor here today because we have a baby dedication here in a few moments. We're excited about that. I tell you what, there's always just new faces being added to the church, whether from the inside out or the outside in. Amen. Praise God. But before we do that, we want to take a moment to welcome those that are visiting Family Church here today. We're just so honored to have you. I see several new faces with us today. We're just so glad that you're here. We don't believe that you're here by coincidence or by accident or anything like that. Even if you feel someone forced you here, God's got a plan for you. Amen. You know, if someone compelled you into the house of God, that's a good thing. He's got a plan for your life. We want to tell you all about it. He says over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. His plan is better than anything you could think of yourself. Best decision I ever made in my life is to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior and to get connected to the local church. Amen. If you're visiting here today, we have a welcome card right there in the seat pocket in front of you. We call it the gray card because it is gray, right? And so we're very creative around here at Family Church, but if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to fill that out, we certainly would appreciate that. Please know if you give us any information here at the church, it does not leave the church. We don't sell your info or anything like that. We're going to be receiving our normal tithes and offerings at the end of service here today. So if you fill out a gray card, you can put that in the offering at the end of service. There's a couple of great ways to get connected to the church. We have a text communication service. How many of you received that yesterday? Amen. I'm the one that personally sends out that message. And so it's a great way for me as the pastor to communicate with the church. We also have an online devotional. If you want more of God's word right to your inbox, you can sign up for that. Please know we will never email you to fundraise. We'll never call you or text you to fundraise. Nothing like that. We just don't do that here. If we have a fundraising need, we just talk face-to-face. Amen. Last but not least, there's a space on the gray card there for prayer needs and requests. If you want a prayer for something, you can submit that every week if you'd like, and it will get prayed for. And for those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We welcome you. Everyone, make sure before we welcome our first-time guest, hold on to your kids, right? Hold on to the kids. Kids, stay put. This is not the applause for you. Not quite yet. But church, whose opportunity is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome here at Family Church? That's ours. Let's go ahead and welcome those that are visiting here today. So glad to see you. We'd love to see you here all the time. Only thing better than having you here today would be have you here every Sunday at 10:30. We'd love to be your church family. I'd love the opportunity to be your pastor and teach you the word of God. Amen. Well, who's ready for some announcements here this morning? Just a few things that we need to get through and address. Hey, don't forget, we have the youth camp coming up. I tell you what, it's just a couple of weeks away. It's amazing how fast the summer is going. These kids are going to have a life-changing experience at our youth camp. You can see all the things that they get to do. Our youth leaders and our volunteers do such an awesome job. Reverend Savante and Miss Tiffany Boyette, would you guys go ahead and stand up for us? We're going to make them stand up. There's our youth leaders, everybody. Yes. Amen. And so they're just doing an awesome job putting together the youth camp. That's coming up August 8th through the 11th. That is up at Mission Meadows on Chautauqua Lake. We're just excited for all the kids that are registered and signed up. It's going to be a dynamic time. You know, if you could be praying for the kids, you know, praying that they would give their life to the Lord, praying for our leaders and our helpers and all that are volunteering for that camp. It's a dynamic ministry. What an awesome, awesome thing. And then what we're going to be doing, just like we did last year, at the end of youth camp, that following Sunday, which is August 16th, we're going to be having our Camp Sunday. And so we're going to be celebrating all that God did at that youth camp. That is also going to be our church picnic day, August 16th, immediately following our normal Sunday service. In the service, we're going to be serving communion, and we're also going to be having water baptism that day. If you or somebody you know is a believer and they would like to be water baptized, we do have a sign-up sheet out there on the welcome counter if you'd like to sign up for that. If you've never made a public declaration for Christ, we encourage you, get water baptized. Amen. The Lord told us to observe that ordinance, and we do that around here. Amen. And so get ready. We've got youth camp followed by Camp Sunday. Praise the Lord. It's just an exciting time. And just a reminder, the last couple weeks, we've been talking about raising funds to provide for this youth camp. These families have only been asked to pay a $50 registration fee to get their child signed up for the camp. And I'll tell you what, $50, that is camping for four nights. That's all that food, all the activities, all that property, and all the things that they have up there at Mission Meadows. And so the heart of the church is to provide those things for those families, you know, to make sure that it's not, you know, too difficult to get their kids, because we just know everyone's at different places. We want to be a blessing to these families. And so over the last couple weeks, we've been raising a special offering for the youth camp. You know, the cost is somewhere around $25,000, $27,000. I don't know. Things are getting expensive these days. We know. And it's somewhere right around that $300 mark, you know, per child, you know, to send them for that camp for those 4 days. And so we're just raising that as a family, a church family. If you've had the opportunity to find one of these green envelopes, everything that gets put in one of these green envelopes goes 100% to the youth camp, to the youth group. It's not used for anything else. Praise the Lord. And so we're just excited at what God's doing. If you wouldn't mind, I mean, you can give, you know, a one-time gift. Give every week. Just find one of these green envelopes. Ask the Lord what He have you to do. And we have an update today. Do we have the update ready to go? Let's see where we are at and our goal for raising. We're up to 17,200. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. So that's a great start. Everybody, let's just over the next few weeks, let's just knock this out. Let's get up to at least 25, 27,000. And anything we go above and beyond that will stay right with the youth group. Amen. And so if you haven't had an opportunity to give in the green envelope, we certainly appreciate that. You can simply just put that in the offering. You know, you don't have to go find anybody, you know, special for that. You can just put it right in the normal offering. And that's why we have those green envelopes. So we see those and we instantly know that that's the youth offering. Amen. A couple more things by the way of announcements. Hey, we need help in the parking lot. If you would like to serve in our parking lot to help keep our parking orderly out there, there's a sign-up sheet in our narthex. That would be wonderful. And don't forget about You Can, all the great things that are happening down there at the Men's Mission through Jamestown City Revival. There's so many things that are taking place outside of these four walls. You know, we're just seeing folks getting saved every single week. We're very excited. Pastor Brad was down there ministering. We have a team of guys that go to the City Mission every Thursday night. And so be praying about that. And guys, if you want to be a part of it, if you're 18 years of age and up, you want to be there, you want to help, you can be there. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all we have by way of announcements. So at this time, boy, I said, false start. At this time, kids, you can go on to your children's ministry. Let's encourage them as they come. Look at this troop. Wow. Here they come. They're going to the front of the church, the back of the church. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so what a blessing to see all these kids, you know, in the right place, serving the Lord. Amen. And so now we have a very, very special opportunity to dedicate a child before the Lord with a very special family that many of you know in this church. We're just so honored to have them. Praise the Lord. So at this time, I would like to call up and let's give a warm Family Church welcome to Zach and Jenny Crawford. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here we go. I'll have you guys stand off to my right. And today, we're going to be dedicating little baby Gwen May. Oh, praise the Lord. it's big up here, isn't it? Yeah, praise the Lord. Here's a very special family, Zach and Jenny. We're just so blessed and honored to have you part of the church family, all that you do around here. Zach and Jenny have served in several capacities around the church, including the youth group and anything, you know, that's needed to be done. They've been there for it. And what a special, special family and a special little girl. Praise God, little Gwen May. Well, before we dedicate this little child before the Lord, I always just like to take this opportunity just to share a few things. I'll tell you what, good parenting is essential more now than ever before. I don't know if you're noticing, but this world around us is getting very dark. You know, in this world, you know, is very challenging. There's a lot of trouble, you know, in our nation, in our society. And when you boil it right down, the greatest cure for society is good parenting. Good parenting is at the root of a strong society. It is at the root of a godly family. And today, Zach and Jenny, you know, we just commend you. You've been wonderful, you know, dedicated parents. And I'll tell you what, your children won the lottery when they were born to you. Amen. Praise God. We know that our society tells us that it takes a village or it takes the community to raise your children. Folks, I know that their intentions when they say that are all good. And of course, yes, we're grateful for school teachers. We're grateful for sports coaches. You know, we're grateful for good people in our community, but it is not the community's responsibility to raise your children. It is our responsibility as parents to raise them. And as parents, we cannot just say, do what I say. They're gonna follow our example. They're gonna do what you do. They're gonna watch your actions, and that is what they're gonna emulate. And so we just charge all of our parents here today, not just Zach and Jenny, but we charge all of you to raise your children God's way. Get your kids in the house of the Lord and get them connected to what God is doing. So at this time, Zach and Jenny, if you would stand before me with your children, there's a couple of verses that are on my heart to share. First of all, I'm going to go over here to Psalm 112 and a few of my favorite verses when it comes to raising children, some wonderful promises of God that He makes to you as parents, parents that are serving the Lord. It says, "Praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in His commandments, his seed," or his children, and of course, it's talking about the parents both. It says, "Their seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed." That is a promise to you from God about your children. And it goes on to talk about what will be in your children's life. It says, "Wealth and riches shall be in their house, and his righteousness endures forever." That's what God says. That's the promise that He makes to parents. He says, "I'm going to take care of all your needs, and the righteousness of your children will endure forever. For they will be blessed because of your faithfulness, because of your actions, because of your devotion to the Lord." And then over here in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 1, Zach and Jenny, I just charge you with this verse here today. It says, "Be you therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children." And the Bible is using a natural truth to teach a spiritual truth. And the spiritual truth is that we should imitate our Heavenly Father. But it tells us the natural side of things, just like our children will imitate what we do. Just like, you know, our children imitate us, we should imitate our Heavenly Father. But this scripture goes on to, you know, is telling us that children will set their example by what you do in your life. When your kids see you praying, they're more likely to grow up to pray. When they see you in church and you bring them to church on a weekly basis, they're more likely to end up in the house of God. When they see you praising, when they see you giving, when they see you serving, they are far more likely to do that themselves one day Because with God, it is a do what I do, not just do what I say kind of example. Amen. And so you guys have set a wonderful example for your children. You guys have done a fantastic job. And I just charge you before the Lord and before this company today to do everything within your power to facilitate one day little Gwen's decision to make Jesus her Lord and Savior. And Zach and Jenny, if you intend on doing so, please say, we do. I know that you do. At this time, is everybody ready to dedicate this precious, precious little girl before the Lord? I just ask maybe the whole family come on over here, and I will take little baby Gwen. Hi, honey. Look at this special, darling child. I tell you what, this is why we want to obey God. This is why we want to serve the Lord. This is the future generation. Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's extend our faith as we dedicate baby Gwen May to the Lord. Father God, we just praise you today. We glorify you. Father, we thank you for Zach and Jenny and their family and for the example that they set, for their godliness and service to the house of the Lord. And Father, we stand here now. In the name of Jesus, we come before you and we dedicate little Gwen May Crawford before you. And Father, we say that she is mighty seed upon the earth. She is the generation of the upright and she is blessed. Lord, you said that the generation of the upright would tear down the enemy's gates. And Father, I thank you that she fulfills all the will of God in her life. Father, we thank you that you watch over her. Your angels go before her all the days of her life. And Father, she will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We believe it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Church, let's congratulate this wonderful family right here. Congratulations, Jenny. Congratulations, Zach. So proud of you guys. So proud of you. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of children, you know, always on the way here at this church. You know, praise God. I don't know, there's not anything that we're putting over the door sills or anything. Praise God. There's children being born, children being raised up. Isn't it good to see kids in the house of God? I look out, I see many grown adults now that were once children, you know, or young adults. It's amazing how fast time goes. Folks, are you ready to continue to praise and worship the Lord? Let's stand to our feet. Let's glorify him for all the good that he's doing. Father, we just bless you today. We glorify you. Father, you are holy and good. Holy and good. Hallelujah. praise you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. We bless you. We glorify you. Father, you are holy and you are good. Come on, church. Let's go ahead. Let's lift our voices and glorify him. Father, we thank you that, Lord, that your life is reigning in us. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. You are the light of the world. Father, we have nothing. And Lord, you said that your light shines in a dark place and the darkness comprehends it not. Thank you, Lord God, that what is in us, it absolutely confuses the evil in this world. It upends all the evil and all the things that try to hurt us and destroy us. Father, we thank you. You are the greater one that lives on the inside. Lord, we just decide to take a note of victory in this life. Father, we decide to set down the negativity. Father, we decide to set down our challenges and not make it all about us. Father, it's not about what we need. It's about what you need. Father, it's not what we need. It's who we need. Father, we know that it's not what we have. It's who we have. And Lord, we have you as our Lord and our Savior, our living healer, our provider, and our protector. Lord, we lack no good thing. And Father, we have every reason in the world to just shout, to be grateful. Father, we just praise you, to thank you for all the good that you are doing in our lives. Father, we're not going to look at the challenges. Father, we're going to look at all the countless blessings that you have put in our life. And Father, it is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we thank you. The Holy Ghost reveals your word today. We're going to receive it with joy. We're going to receive your word with gladness. Father, we're going to be changed from the inside out. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word of God here today, everybody? You know, I believe, I don't know about you, but I believe the Holy Ghost, he's the one that reveals and unveils the Word of God to our hearts. We know we can't understand the Word of God. We can't receive it without his help. And so we yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost here today. We yield what he wants to say. We yield to all that he wants to do in our life. And I believe that as we open our hearts to receive the light of the Word of God, we'll get answers for our lives. We'll get direction for our life. We'll get help and strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go to Acts chapter 2. And today I'm going to call this message, Walking in Divine Blessing. How many of you want to walk in divine blessing? Amen. Praise the Lord. And when we say that, we're not talking about just some kind of material blessing. It goes far beyond that. And today we're going to take a look at just how far beyond that it goes. But I just want to say this, walking in God's blessing in your life, it's not by chance. It's not by coincidence. We don't just live this life for God hoping for the best. Because so many times we're just thinking that God's blessings are just random. We hope that maybe they show up. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. No. I'm here to tell you, if you're just hoping for those things, if you're thinking that God's blessing is random, I'm here to tell you that everything that God does is on purpose. It's always with purpose. It's not just random. Amen. Meaning that there is a part that you and I have to play. We have to do our side of things. Amen. To walk in divine blessing. We've got to understand these principles out of the Word of God. If we're violating them, it's going to be very difficult for God to carry us into his divine blessing. Amen. And so over the last few weeks, I've been teaching a series of messages of how to get into God's highest and best. I've called it the roadmap into God's highest and best. Things that you can do, things that you can know and understand to see to it that you walk in all that God has provided for you to fulfill the plan of God. I'll tell you what, a life lived outside of God's will is a wasted life. The only life that's worth living is right in the middle of his plan for your life. Amen. Are you ready for the word? Go to Acts chapter 2. We're going to start over there in verse 37. And today I'm going to start giving you exact steps of how you can walk into God's highest and best. And we said this starting just a few weeks ago. We said the first step of walking in God's highest and best is to make sure that all that you are, all that you have, and all that you can do is employed for the uses of God. And we liken that to the fully crucified life. A lot of Christians, they've become believers, they've accepted Jesus in their life, but they've never fully become crucified to the purposes of the Lord. We remember Galatians 2:20. We remember what Paul the apostle said. He said, "I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live." He says, "Yet the Lord lives in me, not I, but the Lord. And the life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul said this, he says, "I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Paul was basically saying, all that I am, all that I have, all that I can do, I have put it to death for my own uses, and I have decided to employ all that I am and have for the uses of the Lord. So many Christians, they've never come to that place. Some call it the unqualified commitment. You know, some call it, you know, being fully crucified, fully surrendered, whatever you want to say. But in many times, Christians, they believe upon the Lord, they're saved, they might even, you know, they're born again, they're in a local church, but so many times we're not fully surrendered or fully crucified all that we have, all that we are, and all that we can do for the uses of God. If we're not careful, we're living for ourselves. That'll keep us out of God's highest and best. And then we looked at a man who walked in God's highest and best in the Bible. His name was Joseph. Not Joseph of the Old Testament. Not Joseph, Jesus' earthly dad. But Joseph of Acts chapter 4. That you're all looking at me strange because you don't know him as Joseph. That was his real name. But the apostles gave him a nickname, and his name was Barnabas. Barnabas was a nickname given to him by the apostles, and it meant the son of encouragement. The church in those days was going through a very difficult time, going through the biggest trial and threat of the local church, and God raised up an encourager, a refresher, to help carry the local church, to refresh the men of God, to refresh the people of God. And Barnabas, he was there as a servant. He was there as a giver. Are you here today? Who is going to refresh the local church in the days of great trial upon the earth? When the church is facing all this conflict in the world, who is going to be raised up to refresh leadership? Who's going to be raised up? The apostles gave him that name. They said, "This man is the son of refreshing." That's literally what his name means. They're like, here they were, the most anointed. They were the apostles of Christ. They're the greatest men that ever walked this earth. They had the most gifting, the most anointing from God than anyone could possibly imagine. Yet they needed somebody who was refreshing them and moving them forward. Who's going to refresh the people of God in this generation? It might as well be you. Because God took Barnabas and he made his life a standout, made him different, made him unique in that generation. And now we're going to talk about walking in divine blessing. Are you ready? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 37. Amen. And I'm just going to testify to you a little bit. I'm not here to talk about myself. I'm never, want to talk, in an arrogant way or anything. But I just want to give a testimony for what God has done in my life, and I just want to say this. After getting saved, after receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the greatest decision that I made as a believer was to build my life around the local church. I did not, go to church so that I could, try to get a job at the church. I didn't get connected to the local church so I could get a promotion or so I could get a title or so that I could lead anything. I just, when I got saved at 23 years old, gave my life fully to the things of God, I instantly knew that I just needed to build my life around the local church. I needed the fellowship of the saints. I needed leadership. I needed to submit myself to elders. I needed to be taught the word of God. I needed the fellowship of the local church. Amen. And I'll tell you what, this is where, and I don't mean just family church, this would be true in any local church that preaches Jesus. Every believer needs to grow, be rooted, grounded, and planted in the house of the Lord so that God can grow something great in your life, so that we can create an atmosphere where God can move freely in the lives of the people. Are you here? So if you want to walk in divine blessing, let's talk about this. Let's go over to Acts chapter 2, verse 37. You know, I was going to read a larger portion of this chapter, but I'm just going to cut right to the chase here and go right to the end of the chapter. Go to Acts 2:37. You remember what was taking place in Acts chapter 2. You remember that Peter, the apostle, he was preaching a dynamic message on the coattails of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many remember that? They were filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People started to gather around wondering what was going on. Peter stood up just 53 days after denying Christ. 53 days later. I tell you what, if you'll get serious about turning your life around, God will turn it around a lot quicker than you thought he could. I'll tell you what, Peter denied Christ. He did the same exact thing that Judas did, except Peter repented. You know, Peter got right. Peter got into the plan of God. 53 days later, he went, you know, in those 53 days, where was he? He was in the upper room. He was gathered with other believers. He was in the corporate setting. He was in the anointing and the fellowship of the saints. And 53 days later, when everyone started to gather to wonder what the filling of the Spirit was, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. He preached in front of thousands of people. And we're going to see the result of Peter's preaching. We pick it up in verse 37. Are you ready for this? This is, of course, the reaction of the crowd after they heard Peter's sermon. And Peter is going to tell them exactly what to do. He says, now when they heard this, when they heard Peter's preaching, this crowd of thousands, they were pricked in their heart, or you could say it this way, they were convicted. Yeah. See, we need that in our services. We need the hearts, our hearts. We need the hearts of the people to be pricked, or literally to be, you know, just cut with the power of God, so to speak. Amen. We need to be convicted in the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you what, if you go to church and your heart isn't moved, meaning if you're, you know, just callous to these things, maybe it's because we've let our hearts get hard and calloused. You know, it says, but they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, look at the first thing that Peter said, a very unpopular word today. He said, repent. Today's message is not about repentance, but I feel a message brewing on that subject. The modern church doesn't want to hear about repentance. Repentance is the first step out of darkness. Repentance is not to give God an apology. God does not want your apology. He's not moved by your apology. He's not moved by your regret. The word does not mean to have regret. It does not mean to give God an apology. The word repent, it means to change. It means to amend your heart and mind to allow the light of the word to come into your heart to change your life. To repent acknowledges that you've been walking in darkness. And repentance says, I'm not going to walk in darkness anymore. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to turn on darkness and I'm going to receive the light. Are you here? So many of God's people, you know, they want Jesus, but they don't want repentance. You cannot come to Jesus without repentance. You can't live the life of God without repentance. You're gonna have to make changes. There's going to have to be a repentance that says, you know, I don't want the darkness anymore. I've been in darkness. I've been doing things wrong. I've been disobeying God. I repent. I change. And I'm amending my ways. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the word repent, it literally means get back to where you were. Get back to where you were. Literally, it means get back on top. Do you know that's literally how you define that word, get back on top? The word pent means top, like penthouse. It means the top of a building, right? Get back to what God intended for you. Amen. Anyway, that's free, no charge. Well, I said I had a sermon brewing about repentance. There you go. You just got it. Amen. He says, repent and be water baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise of the Holy Ghost, it was called the promise of the Father, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, meaning all generations. We are now 2,000 years afar off since the resurrection of Christ. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is still for us. Amen. And to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did Peter testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this ungodly generation. Then they that gladly received his word were water baptized. Gladly received his word, were baptized in water, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's a pretty good day of preaching right there. I can't quite say that I've ever had a day of preaching that I'm aware of that brought 3,000 souls into the kingdom of God. Wow. And it says, and they continued steadfastly. This is meaning the 3,000 souls. These new believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers and fear. That word fear means reverence or honor, reverential fear, meaning an honor for God. How many of you believe that the church in America needs to get back to some reverence? Reverence God. Amen. Reverence came upon every soul, and now many wonders, signs, or miracles were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. Everyone say together. Together. Oh, praise the Lord. And they had what? All things common. And it says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart. That means just sincerity. Now look at verse 47. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How many of you believe that's walking in divine blessing? All of a sudden, these new believers, they found themselves with a desire to serve God. All of a sudden, they got hungry for doctrine. You know, they started to fellowship with believers. They had reverential fear. They started giving to their brothers and sisters that were in need. They had great gladness. They were praising God. They had favor with all the people around them. And souls were, you know, coming into the kingdom of God every single day because of their example. Amen. How many of you say that looks like the divine favor of God, doesn't it? Amen. That is the divine favor of God. That is the blessing of God. All of a sudden, you know, you become reverent. All of a sudden, notice the blessing of God isn't just material things that come to you. When you start walking in the divine blessing of God, all of a sudden you become reverent to God. All of a sudden, things that are sacred to God are sacred to you. All of a sudden, a gladness will overtake your life. All of a sudden, you start thinking about your brothers and sisters around you instead of just what you can get or pull out of your faith. Are you here? The modern church today preaches prosperity about all that you can get, all that you can get. But notice when the Spirit of God was moving back then, the Spirit got into these people and they started to not think about themselves. They started to think about their brothers and sisters around them to prosper them. Are you here? Boy. So I tell you what, when you're walking in divine blessing, yes, the favor of God, you know, comes to you, but a reverence for God, a generosity is cultivated in your heart. You know, favor and adding souls to the church daily such as should be saved. How did they get to this divine blessing? Go back up to verse 41. Are you ready? Here we go. I had a whole list today of things, steps that you could take, things that you can do to get into God's highest and best. But let's just be real honest and real sober here about my message today. Do you really think that we're going to get beyond the first point? Do you think we're not gambling on it here today? But let's just be real sober. We're probably just going to get to the first thing here today. And if that's all we get to, that's what we have next week for. Amen. Let's look at verse 41. It says, verse 41, then they that gladly received Peter's preaching were water baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they, these new believers, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Number one, and maybe the only thing we're going to talk about here today, if you want to get into God's highest and best, you must understand the principle of fellowship. Are you ready? Go back to verse 41 before we dive in. Notice it says this. It says, they gladly received Peter's word, meaning the word of God from Peter, and were baptized. Notice that in that sermon that Peter preached, of course, he had to be a man that was filled with God's Spirit. He had to be a man that was filled with God's word. But notice those that were hearing Peter's preaching, they had a responsibility on their side. Their side of it was to gladly receive. You know, when we go to church, you know, we don't go to grudgingly resist. We go to gladly receive. Now, that doesn't mean that Peter's message was flowery or easy to hear. Remember, what was the first thing Peter told them to do? Repent. It wasn't an easy message. It wasn't just a message that just said, you're just going to get all the happiness in life that you want. Peter didn't tell them all your dreams are going to come true. He got up there and he said, you need to repent. And they gladly received it. See, when we come in, we hear the word of God, do yourself a favor and gladly receive. You know, help your pastor preach the word of God. Help the word to come forth. Because your gladness over here might help someone back there get their answers. See, when you come in and you're glad about the word of God, it creates an atmosphere where utterance, where answers can start flowing from the Spirit of God. Things that were never planned being said, all of a sudden get said by the Spirit of God. And someone over here knows exactly what they need because someone over here was being glad to receive the word. Amen. It's not because pastors are looking for cheerleaders. It's not because we're looking to pat ourselves on the back and hear the amens and stuff like that. But it's about receiving gladly. They were eager to receive. Amen. And when we come together, it's not just about creating an atmosphere where we get just to pull just what we want and we forget about everyone else. Listen, the Spirit of God can speak things that could break depression off somebody. Because someone over here was being, a good receiver and praising and worshiping God. All of a sudden, something is said that breaks depression off somebody over here. Or maybe, someone over here gets healed in their body by just hearing the word of God because it was, preached with anointing and with power. So, well, Pastor, is that scriptural? Yes, it is. Psalm 107, verse 20, God sent his word and healed them. You could be healed sitting in those chairs just by hearing the word of God. But it's got to be the anointed word of God. And we need to create an atmosphere where the Spirit of God can move freely in our midst. How do we do that? Gladly receive. If you're here just looking at your watch, waiting until noon, just biding your time. Listen, God isn't giving out gold stars for attendance. You need to gladly receive. See, at that point, their hearts were open to receive the light. And they said, what must we do? We'll change. We'll do whatever it takes. They gladly received. And now 3,000 souls were added to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says 3,000 souls were added. Now notice this. Now I'm preaching out of the King James. Now bear with me. Is it okay if I do a little teaching here for a few minutes? Notice it says 3,000 souls were what? Added unto them. Now, if you're reading in the King James, or if you have a King James Bible with you here today, you'll notice that the words unto them are italicized, all right? They're just a little bit different than the other words there. That means that they did not originally exist in the manuscript. But the translators of the King James Bible added those words to help us understand who was being added to who, right? And we know if you have a newer translation, like the Amplified or the New American Standard, the words unto them might not be in there. It might just say on that day, 3,000 souls were added, all right? But we know the words unto them are correct. Because look at the next verse. It says they steadfastly continued in doctrine and fellowship. So who were these Christians, these 3,000 new believers, who were they added to? They were added to the church. So that church grew by a number of 3,000 in the space of one sermon. How many people were in that church to begin with? There were 120 believers that came from the upper room on the day that Peter preached on Pentecost. And I did a little math, okay? And I did it all right up here on my calculator. Praise the Lord. Do you know if you multiply 120 times 25, you get exactly 3,000. Now, the scripture says about 3,000, so it wasn't exactly 3,000 people. It was somewhere in that neighborhood. But just using that 3,000 number, their church grew by a multiple of 25 in the space of one sermon. That is 2,500% growth out of one sermon. But notice this, they were added unto them. Go back to verse 41. It says that they were added. Who were they added to? The church. Notice these new believers. It didn't say that they were just added to something. They were added to somebody. This is what we need to understand. When they got saved, their salvation wasn't just them being added to the worldwide group of believers. There was no worldwide group of believers at that time. They were the first, you know, earliest Christians on the earth, right? But it says that when they got saved, they were added to them, the church. They were added to the apostles' ministry. They were added to that local church and to that 120 people. Amen. This is what we need to know and understand about fellowship. These believers weren't added to something. They were added to somebody. Your salvation wasn't given to you so you just go to heaven one day. It was given to you so that you would be added to someone, that you would be added to other souls in this principle of fellowship. Get a hold of this. Praise the Lord. They were being added to a fellowship of believers. That means that their lives were being joined with someone, and those other people had a supply that would help their life. There's something, this tells me right here in the Word, that I need you. Not just as a pastor, but just as a believer. I need my church family. I need this fellowship. I need the place. I need the people that God has placed me with. I'm not trying to live life as a general Christian. I want to be specifically in the place that God has added me to. Not because I'm the pastor, but because also, you know, I'm part of this church family. I wasn't just added to heaven someday. I wasn't just added to the big idea of Christianity. I was added to you. And you were added to me. Because there's things on your life that are going to get on me that I need. There's things on my life that are going to get on you because you need them. There's things that we learn from one another. We need this fellowship. Are you getting a hold of this? Amen. The question isn't just to find what God has joined you to. Find who God has joined you to. Who are the souls that you were added to? Yes. So many Christians, they live and die, and they never realize that when they got saved as a believer, they were supposed to be added to someone. God does not accept lone rangers. God does not, he's not out blessing rogue Christians. He's not looking for tumbleweeds that just bounce around place to place, bounce around. He's looking for someone who will be part of fellowship, who's joined to the souls that he set you with. They were being added to a fellowship. They were being joined to someone who had a supply for their lives, and they had a supply for their lives. Amen. Others have something that needs to get on you. Yes, there's strengths in everybody that you need, that they need your strength. Amen. We need that fellowship. Hallelujah. And you're going to see why it is so important. Being saved is more than going to heaven. Being saved is to be set with the souls God has placed you with. It's not about just us four and no more. It's not for, you know, the me generation that just wants everything for ourselves. We got to make sure that we know and understand this. Amen. It's not just about, you know, my stuff, my life. God has something on my life for a fellowship to add to somebody else. Amen. Praise the Lord. Being saved is more than just going to heaven. It's to be set with the souls God has placed you with. It is to be set in a place with divine leadership and a divine family. Glory to God. Look at this. Go down to verse 42 now. Look at this. In verse 42, it says, "And they," these new believers, "continued steadfastly." I tell you what, it's not what you start that gets God's attention. You've got to continue in it. You've got to continue in it. You've got to be faithful to something. At some point in your life, you're going to have to settle down and devote yourself to a family, to a fellowship. And I'm not talking about just your natural family. I'm talking about a church family. At some point, you're going to need to serve somebody more than you serve yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued. They understood that they didn't just get saved to go out and drift around. They didn't get saved to go out and just, you know, have fire insurance and go to heaven. They said, well, we're going to continue. We know that we've been added to this church and to this leadership. It says, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Everyone say fellowship. And in the breaking of bread and in prayers. First, I want you to start seeing what fellowship is and what fellowship is not. Notice in verse 42, the term fellowship and breaking bread, which means eating meals together, which is a great thing, by the way. But notice fellowship and eating meals together are listed separately. Why? Because there's two different things going on here. Having companionship, having meals together. How many of you know we do that? You know, we'll have, you know, these picnics that are coming up. We've had get-togethers out back here. We've had all this stuff at our youth center. We'll have meals and we fellowship. We have family fellowship, our ministry, you know, that you know, caters to that. That is a wonderful thing. We should enjoy the companionship of each other. But how many of you know that's not the full definition of what fellowship is? Listen, breaking of bread, having meals, and spending time together is a part of fellowship, but it is the lowest form of fellowship. Oh boy, before you start throwing things at me, don't get mad at me. It's important that we enjoy each other's company, but you know, sometimes we think that's all fellowship is. But notice in the scripture, there's two different things being mentioned. Doctrine, you know, it goes to mention four things in this verse, but it says doctrine. It says fellowship, breaking of bread, and praying. Those are four separate things. So we have to understand that fellowship is more than just eating meals. Having fellowship with their leadership. They wanted to have fellowship with the apostles. But there was 3,000 of them. Does that mean that they went and had coffee with the apostles every day? Does that mean that there was, you know, fellowship is just, you know, sitting and going out to dinner with your leadership and things like that? No, there was 3,000 of them. These new believers, they weren't expecting personal time, you know, with leadership, but they wanted to be in fellowship. Listen, I wish I could do that. I wish I had all the time in the world to sit down with everybody, You know, please don't misunderstand me. I wish I had the time and the ability to do that. But fellowship is not just about the personal attention that you get from church leadership. Are you here? Praise the Lord. I got to show you that there's a difference between breaking of bread and this word fellowship. It is two different things. It is important that we have companionship together through meals and so on. But that is the lowest form of fellowship because the world can have that fellowship as well. The world can get together and enjoy meals together. They can enjoy fellowship through eating and breaking of bread. But true fellowship in Christ is not something the world can duplicate. There's something more to fellowship that the world cannot get by just eating together and spending time together. There must be more to it. Are you here? Hold on. You're going to want to know and understand what this fellowship is. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Obviously, the apostles did not have time to have dinner or coffee with 3,000 people all the time. But yet those 3,000, those new believers, they understood they needed to be in fellowship. That word fellowship there in Acts 2:42, the Greek word is a word very familiar to us. And you've no doubt you've heard this word in church circles before. It is the Greek word koinonia. How many of you ever heard that word before? You know, churches are named that, ministries are named that. Great, great name for a church, right? Great name for a ministry. There's retreats that are called koinonia and, you know, all this stuff. The word koinonia, it is translated, are you ready? It means fellowship. But here's how we translate it into English today. The word koinonia, it means partnership. Partnership. It literally means participation. All right, boy, everyone loves that. It got quiet in here. It means partnership. You know, it doesn't mean just sitting down. The world can sit down and have meals with each other. But when we sit down together, we are in a divine partnership. It is a devotion to one another. It is a giving of ourselves to participate in all that God is doing in the local church. See, it means participation. It doesn't mean to spectate in the house of God. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Koinonia, it means partnership and participation. Notice this also in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles. The word doctrine just means their teaching. And so they were there to get the teaching of the word, but they knew they were also there to have fellowship. Notice you can show up just for the teaching of the word. That does not mean that you are in fellowship. You can sit there and listen to the teaching. You can even, you know, participate, meaning do the word. And of course, God will honor that. But notice just hearing the word of God does not mean that we're in fellowship. Notice they were showing up for the doctrine, the teaching of the word, and the fellowship of the ministry. They weren't there to sit down, take the teaching for themselves, and leave. They weren't there for their self-help. They weren't just there to get their deliverance. See, if they were just there for themselves, it could have just said they just were there for the teaching of the apostles. But it says, it's important that it notes, they were there and they dedicated themselves to the teaching of the word and to the partnership of the ministry. The partnership. See, partnership is a heart decision to know who you've been called to. To get rid of the mentality that I'm here just to get the teaching and leave for myself. I'm here to put something into you. I'm here to give to you. I'm here to serve. I'm here to help. Everyone that, you know, works and cleans this church building, they were serving you and I. All these people in our audio, video, and on the music team, and the ushers, and the parking lot, and our children's ministries, and nursery, and I'm missing, you know, departments, and I don't mean to. But they're all serving us. They're making this moment possible because they have a partnership. Amen. They have a participation, or literally, they play a part. You know, I'll tell you, if we're not careful, a lot of Christians, they don't realize it. They come to church to take it apart, not to be apart. Do you understand what I mean by that? They show up and they want a promotion. They want a title for themselves. They want to be recognized or something like that. But if we're not careful, we don't realize that stuff is just taking apart the church. I don't know about you. I want to build my church stronger. I want to be a blessing to the people of God. I want to refresh you. I want to help you. Amen. Are you here? They continued steadfastly in the doctrine and the fellowship. They were getting into this word koinonia, that it wasn't about themselves anymore. Notice these brand new believers discovered it. And yet I see a lot of Christians that have been Christians for decades never reach fellowship. And then their life starts to wither. Things get unnecessarily rough because they don't realize they're violating fellowship. Oh, are you here? Fellowship is not the same as friendship. You know, it doesn't mean you have to love everybody's personalities. You know, it's sure a plus, you know. But what if you go to a local church and there's just somebody there that doesn't quite, you know, turn you the right way? What if you're not exactly, you know, connecting with their personality? That's okay. That's all right. You're not there to be everybody's best friend. You're there to be in fellowship, to participate, to be a partner, to be devoted, to embrace a family, even if they've got faults, not to demand perfection out of everybody, but to be gracious to everybody, to be kind, to be, you know, forgiving, foreboding. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you here today? Glory to God. Notice, it wasn't just showing up for the teaching of the word. Fellowship is more than that. It is a partnership. Fellowship means to be joined together by divine agency. God set us together. God designed the local church. He put us together for a purpose. It literally means a divine association for a purpose. It means to participate, not spectate. It literally means to become willing to do anything for those around you. Amen. I'm not here to take care of myself. I'm here to take care of you. Are you here today? Yeah. Are you willing to serve those that are around you? We're not here to get our own promotion, like I said. We're not here to get our own recognition. We are here in fellowship to create an atmosphere where God can freely move. When we are in the unity of fellowship, God can heal in our midst. He can restore marriages in our midst. He can bring you the kind of gladness that this group of believers received. He's there to move upon our hearts to make us generous. He's there to move upon our hearts to make us reverent. Amen. Are you here? Glory to God. This fellowship, I need it. I need it. You need it. We need to know, where has God joined us in fellowship? Here at Family Church, we do not have a specific membership program. You know, long ago, we used to have, you know, a membership class where people would come and sign up for membership, and we'd have membership Sunday. How many of you remember those days? Yeah, there's several of you that were there back in those days. And remember, we'd have a big group of people, and we'd give them the right hand of fellowship and their membership card. And remember what we started to learn after doing those membership Sundays? Several people, it was the last time we ever saw them. Because fellowship is not signing on the line. Fellowship is when God has moved upon your heart to understand that He's divinely set you in a family. He's divinely set you with leadership. Amen. He's divinely set you under the care of elders, under the care of leaders, and the care of a church family. Praise the Lord, to create an atmosphere where God can move freely. It is in this atmosphere of fellowship where God will shower all the needs of His people. It is like literally, Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, you are God's garden, and when you're together, He waters you. Now that's my paraphrase. But literally, he says, when you're together and this this principle of fellowship is reached, God starts to water your life. But if you're here just to join the institution, if you're just jumping around and if you're just tumbleweeds in the body of Christ and you've never slowed down to join a fellowship and to participate in that fellowship and to give yourself to that family, to serve that family, you'll never reach God's highest and best. The early church, they knew it. They saw it. 3,000 souls. And notice it says in verse 42, they continued steadfastly. All right? I looked up that word, steadfastly. It is the Greek word where we get our English word for perseverance. Notice it wasn't easy for them to stay connected to the apostles. Notice it wasn't easy for them to be in that fellowship. If you have to persevere, that means that challenges were coming to try to take you away from it. You could say it this way, and despite all the things that were trying to tear them away and destroy fellowship, they continued steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the church. Are you here? Folks, the scripture tells us, Jesus warned, if you smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. The devil wants to do nothing more than to pull you away from the families and the souls that he added you to. He wants nothing more than to rip you away from the leadership that he set you with. Are you here? The devil will do anything to get you offended, to get you challenged, to get you troubled, to try to just shake you out of the plan of God. Are you here? Yeah, these people, they went through a lot of challenges. They went through the test, but they continued steadfastly. Hallelujah. They persevered. They stayed with their leadership. They participated in things pertaining to worship and serving. I don't say this to be condescending, but I say this to challenge you. What are you doing for God? What are you doing for God? Listen, just waking up every day and being a Christian is not doing anything for God. Say, Pastor, I'm just being a good person. Well, that's great. That's fine and that's good. What are you doing to serve somebody? Who are you serving? Who are you joined to? Where has God set you? Where has he placed you? Who has he told you to learn from? Amen. Yes. We are to create an atmosphere where God can move freely, a place where God can impart spiritual gifts, that God can impart answers for your life. Again, because you're in this fellowship, meaning not just because it's family church, but because this atmosphere of fellowship is reached, if we achieve that spiritual atmosphere, all of a sudden answers start coming to you, directions start coming to you. Because somebody is faithful over here, all of a sudden someone over here knows exactly what to do in their life. Praise God. I'll tell you what, God is showering us. He's imparting answers. Also, he is giving us strength today to prepare us for a future test. How many of you know there's challenges coming in this life? And the things you get while you're in fellowship are preparing you to have the strength to pass a future test. It's not just solving your problems that you're facing right now. It's to get you ready so that you can walk in victory when that challenge arrives in your life. Are you here today? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I need fellowship. You didn't say, well, Pastor, I just don't want to give the time. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to be part. I don't want to be a tither. I don't want to be this. So many Christians I've seen over the years, they thought that they were saving time by not being part of a fellowship. They thought that they were saving money by not being part of a fellowship. They thought that they were saving themselves the social agony of having to deal with people. Sometimes people just aren't very social or whatever. We're all different, and God understands that, I'll tell you what, my natural personality a lot of times would be just to disappear. I get that. I know and understand that. But listen, you think you're saving yourself time. You think you're saving yourself social pressure. You think you're saving yourself money. But what you are really doing is denying yourself divine blessing. You're denying yourself divine favor. You're denying yourself divine grace. You're denying yourself that strength. And you're denying what God could do in that church fellowship to bring more souls into the kingdom of God. Listen, there's lost people out there in this world right now waiting for someone in here to get faithful. Because remember, it says, you know, there was added daily to the church such as should be saved. You know, people deny themselves that Holy Ghost-given generosity that comes upon them. That Holy Ghost gladness that comes upon them. That strength and favor with all people. Notice it was because they walked in fellowship. Go to verse 43 again. We got to read this real quickly before we get ready to wrap this up. It says, and reverence came upon everyone, all 3,000 of those Christians. Why? Because they reached an atmosphere of fellowship. So I'll tell you what, at the beginning of the service, everyone was shouting like, oh yeah, I want God's highest and best. But are you ready to be added to somebody? Amen. There's no lone rangers. Even pastors have to have people over them. Need leadership. Are you here today? Verse 43, fear, reverence came upon every soul. Can we go to verse 43? Praise the Lord. Go to the next verse, please. Fear came, reverence came upon every soul. That's walking in divine blessing. When reverence comes upon you. When all of a sudden you get more serious about God because you are in an atmosphere. I'll tell you what, there was a time in my life I needed to get more serious about God. And I tell you what, I was just floating around, but I got serious when I got into the fellowship of the believers. And it says, and miracles, signs, and wonders were done by the apostles. How many of you want to see miracles in your midst? Yeah. Hallelujah. It comes through this fellowship. And when I say this fellowship, it's not just family church. It's not about the institution. It's about the hearts of the family. And it says in verse 44, and all that believed were what, everybody? Together. Yeah, I'm not looking to, you know, separate from my family. I'm looking to be together with my family. And it says they had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. That is divine blessing when your heart get so taken by the needs of your brothers and sisters around you. That's divine blessing. Why? Because that's going to be rewarded in heaven someday. You're not going to be rewarded in heaven someday because of the nice things that you had on this earth. Well, don't get me going on that. You know, oh, you have this, you have that. Listen, having nice things, praise God, I want you to have a bunch of nice things. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says it plainly, you can't take them with you. And see, what they were doing in the early church was something that was going to receive eternal reward. They started caring about everybody around them. And then verse 46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They were always in worship, breaking bread, having companionship from house to house. They ate their food with gladness. Everyone say gladness. Do you need a little bit more of that in your life? Amen. Praise the Lord. In verse 47, it says, and they were praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be saved, because people started seeing the joy on the Christians. They started seeing the strength on the Christian. They started seeing victory on the Christian, and they jumped into the church. Your fellowship is going to reach out and bring others into fellowship, and it's going to change their life. Amen. Real quickly, go to 1 John, and we'll end right here. Go to 1 John chapter 1, fellowship, to create an atmosphere, to be a partner, to participate, a place that God can impart answers and gifts, a place where God can set up your future, a place where strength will be added to you to prepare you to pass a future test. Amen. Partnering and learning under our leadership, participating in worship and serving. Hallelujah. They persevered through the challenges. Things are going to come to try to offend you to get you out of fellowship. Things are going to come and try to offend you to get you away from your pastor. There's going to be things that come to try to bother you. There's going to be challenges, financial hardships, tests in your body, whatever it is, to feel discouraged and to give up. Don't get discouraged. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and go right to, I was going to read a few verses over here, but go to right to verse 7. We're just going to cut right to the chase. Are you ready? We're going to end right here. It says, but if we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. We have what? Fellowship one with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, real quickly, I would be not doing you service to not read verse 6. Go up to verse 6. It says, but if we say we have fellowship with Christ and then we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we know him, you know, if we say that we have fellowship with him, but then we live in sin, we don't obey him, we don't walk like Christ. See, you know what the Bible wants out of us? Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. Amen. There's a whole thing with that. I'm just going to, withdraw from that rabbit trail. I could go that way right now, but I'm not supposed to. Look at verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Notice, when this atmosphere of fellowship is more than just having meals together. It is walking in the light together. Fellowship creates divine light. That light needs to get into your marriage. You know, remember several months ago, it was probably over a year ago, I don't know. Remember when I brought in a watch that I called the Misfit Watch? It was one of those Citizen Eco Drive watches. And I had this thing for years, and it was in a dark drawer, and it needs sunlight to get started. And, you know, I set it out in the sunlight. And I literally set that watch, trying to get it restarted. I thought it was broken. I almost threw it away. And, I set it in the sunlight. And one day, it started to tick again, but the ticker was all erratic. It would jump 5 seconds, and then 2, and then 1, and then 10. It was just all over the place. And I sat there day after day, week after week, month after month, just letting that thing sit on my windowsill at home, thinking that that watch, because it was solar-powered watch, that watch would one day work right. And I was just about ready to give up on the thing. And one day I went over, I picked it up, and I did a double take, and I looked, and it was ticking perfectly. It was ticking perfectly, second by second. And now ever since then, it keeps perfect time. I gave it as a gift to my son, who's up at the overhead here today. I gave it, and that is a nice watch. It works well, perfect time, solar powered, And remember how I said this? It wasn't broken. It just needed more light. It wasn't broken. So many times we think our marriages are broken. They're not broken. They just need more light. Your finances aren't broken. It just might need more light. And fellowship is one place where God, what? Shines that light. This, when you are in fellowship and you're hearing the teaching of the word, it's to make sure that your ticker acts right. Because a lot of people, they get astray in their life because their ticker up here gets astray. Fellowship in the light of the word. Fellowship in the local church keeps you thinking right. Keeps you living right. Keeps you surrounded. Amen. Our lives will wither without the light. You say, well, Pastor, I jump around. I just go to church here. Going to church is not the light. Fellowship is the light. Say, well, Pastor, I go to church. I sit and I listen to the word. I even take notes and all this, and I go home. No. That's not the definition of fellowship. If we just show up to sit here, learn the message, and take it for ourselves and leave, that's not partnership. Fellowship. Fellowship. If we walk as he walked, we have fellowship with one another. What does Jesus want for all of us? He wants us to be gathered in his name, with him in the middle, with fellowship all around him. What is heaven, everybody? It's a fellowship. What's a local church? It's a fellowship. All right? What is this relationship between one another? It's not just some church organization. It's not just a church building or a property. It's a fellowship. And it's not just, well, Pastor, we need to eat more meals together. Listen, we do that. That's wonderful. But fellowship begins with a heart decision on your part. I have made a decision not to just go to this church. I've decided to be a part of this church. to participate, to partner. That's what it is to walk in the light of fellowship. So many Christians, they live and die having never gotten to this place. They never spent time on this earth in fellowship. And God will ask the Christian, why didn't you get into a fellowship? Why didn't you get to the souls? Salvation was not given to us to make us selfish. It wasn't. It was to make us selfless. This fellowship isn't where we come to get everything we want. This fellowship is where we go to make sure that selfishness dies in our life. Do you get some help here today? Fellowship is what will take you into God's highest and best. Those 3,000 new believers got into their best life because they understood fellowship. Do you get some help here today? Well, let's go ahead. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. That's the word of God, and I'm sticking to it. Father God, we praise you and glorify you. Father, our lives aren't broken. Our lives need the light of fellowship. Our lives need, we need to be surrounded in a partnership, a family, where we lay down our own selfish desires and we serve and participate. We participate with serving. We participate in our giving. We personally see the needs of our brothers and sisters and we meet them. Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord Jesus, you called us to be set in a fellowship. Lord, your word says that you set each part in the body of Christ as it pleases you. Lord, I know where you set me. And I know that I've had to steadfastly continue with where you've set me. We all will have to persevere challenges. We'll all be tempted to be offended. We'll all be tempted to break away from fellowship or to chase our own thing. But Father, our goal is to find out exactly where you would have us. Lord, you said over there in Psalm 92:13, you said, they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. We flourish because we're planted, not because we bounce around. Thank you, Father. You are faithful and good. Fellowship. We want your highest and best. Our marriages need more light. Our attitudes need more light. Our bodies with health need more light. Father, thank you for this light that shines upon us in fellowship. Thank you for watering your people, preparing us. Thank you, Lord, for the local church. Thank you, Lord, that we're here together. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we dismiss, ask yourself this question in the quiet of your conscience. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Lord wants to save you. The Lord wants to rescue you from your own sins. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to give you direction for your life. And if you're here and if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, ask yourself this question. If today was my last day on earth, would I be in heaven or would I be in hell? Well, a lot of people these days are trying to say they don't believe in hell anymore. Well, I tell you what, Jesus believed in it. Jesus spoke about it and warned us about it. Hell is a real place, but I've got good news. Heaven is a real place. And Jesus said, if you believe upon me, I go and I prepare a place for you in my Father's house. If you've never been born again, don't leave this place until you have. If that's you, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or anything like that. Right there in your seat, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here? Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. You can put them down. Is there anyone else? You say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. This is why fellowship is important. It creates an atmosphere where the Lord can reach out and draw new souls to himself. Anybody else, before we pray, you're here and you just know on the inside and in your core of your heart, you know you need to respond and give your life to the Lord. If that's you, could you lift your hand? We're going to pray here in just a moment. If you lifted your hand, pray this prayer with us. Everybody's going to be praying. Pray these words out of your mouth. Speak them. Mean it with your heart. God will hear you. Make a decision by faith to follow Jesus as your Lord. Let's all pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Isn't it wonderful to see folks coming to the Lord? Go ahead, let's stand to our feet. Folks, we're going to get ready to receive our tithes and offerings. We know that we've been doing this lately. We've been just giving as we go. Folks, we have the ushers at all the sanctuary exits. Please know we are not charging you to leave, all right? But this just buys us some time. It's just easier this way. So, you know, if you go to the ushers as opposed to them coming to you, we could just save a little bit of time by doing that. It's a joy to be a giver. It's a joy to be a tither. There's ushers in buckets there at each exit, front and back. If you signed or filled out a welcome card, you can put that right there in that green bucket. If you're giving to the youth camp, you can put that in there as well. Let's go ahead and just rejoice and be glad. It will be dismissed. Father God, we praise you. We glorify you. Father, it is a joy to give. It is a joy to be a tither. And Father, we just say it together. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. You are dismissed.